Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington. Each week we talk with a different community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And I'm really happy to have with us our good friend, Efrat Pfefferman, the Executive Director at United Way here in Monroe County. Good morning, Efrat.
Good morning, Denise. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So you've been busy and looks like you just were finishing submissions for your Phase 5 COVID relief.
That's right. Since COVID continues to impact our community and so many of our families and households still finding themselves needing some extra help, we have just closed applications for another round of funding to nonprofits that are serving people's basic needs for, you know, health, safety, food, shelter, all of those things. So we'll be making decisions with a committee regarding the $400,000+ that are available in this phase, and sharing that out in the days to come.
What are you hearing from your partner organizations and member agencies in terms of pandemic right now? Obviously, we have a slight resurgence with the Delta variant, and but what are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, no, that I mean that resurgence is really sending us backwards a little bit, and that means that people who relied on work in certain sectors aren't all back to work yet. And that, you know, people are still struggling financially and having to make decisions about, you know, childcare and support for maybe their aging parents and other vulnerable household members with all of this still going on. It's a lot. And that's why, you know, United Way is here to step up and see what we can do in what is hopefully the final sort of thrust of the pandemic and the needs associated with it.
Mm-hmm. How are you in general finding, and this would be a good point, talk a little bit about how that fits in with United Way's mission and just how you see your organization's role in the community.
Good question. Yeah, United Way's mission is to address our community's most critical needs, address them today, reduce them in the future. And those needs change, right? And sometimes they are needs that we can anticipate because we're seeing data, trends, you know, we're hearing from the community about things such as, I think homelessness and housing insecurity is a good example of that. But then there are also needs that arise without much warning, whether it's a pandemic or the recent floods. And that's where United Way, you know, works to respond to those needs. So not only did that mean we had to focus on the pandemic, but then when things came around, like the floods a few weeks back. So United Way's mission is to address our community's most critical needs and work to reduce those needs for the future. And those needs change. Sometimes we, you know, anticipate something because we see data trends and, you know, we're hearing from community members about things that are that they're starting to notice that maybe concern them. And I think homelessness, housing insecurity, and the work we're doing in that is a good example of that. That's something that's been trending in a certain negative direction, and the data combined with, you know, the interest of the community in coming together to tackle this is why United Way is working in that space. Other times, it's something unexpected, like a natural disaster, like the floods, you know, a few weeks ago that impacted over 140 households, many businesses, some of our nonprofits, or a pandemic that we, you know, could not fully anticipate. And as pervasive as that was and is in affecting everyone, that was just sort of a no-brainer for us to respond and lead and do what we can to help folks as they're impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the flooding from a few weeks ago. I would imagine that was probably a joint effort with a number of other organizations.
Absolutely. We're fortunate to be part of the co-ed group in town. That's Monroe County Community Organizations Active in Disaster Relief. That works closely with our Monroe County's Emergency Management Authorities, the Health Department, and others. In order to take the next steps after the emergency response and mm-hmm. make sure that people have the resources that they need to weather such disasters, to recover from them, and move forward. And so that's in partnership with great organizations such as the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and the townships, who all come together to attend to those needs. United Way helps bring in some funds. We recently received a grant for $10,000 from our state association, and we've fundraised a little bit locally to help with the flooding relief work. A lot of people lost their belongings, furniture, you know, clothes, bedding, things that when you add it all up, take a lot to replace, and insurance doesn't always cover, and some found themselves without, you know, the proper insurance coverage due to floods, and the last thing we want is for those households to end up, you know, out on the street as opposed to weathering this with some support.
That makes a lot of sense in all those different dimensions. Now, you had mentioned housing also. And you're fairly involved in a housing initiative. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. Yeah, United Way and the Community Foundation have partnered together in recent months to convene stakeholders around a long-term plan to reduce homelessness and housing insecurity in Monroe County and in our region. So this work to date has entailed a lot of people working, contributing their time to researching, to analyzing, to talking, to writing. And that all culminated a couple weeks ago in the release of the Heading Home 2021 plan to make homelessness rare, brief, and non-repeating in our community. So that was that marked the end of the planning phase. And now the real work is going to begin. We are out there seeking financial support to implement this plan and put the infrastructure in place so that we can dedicate a small team to it, because this work really is full-time work if we're going to see the results down the road. We have great nonprofit agency partners that shelter people, that house people, that do case management, that support individuals directly in their moments of crisis. I think there was consensus around the table with this big group that included, you know, all of those agencies, but also elected officials and philanthropy organizations and others. There was consensus that what we've been lacking perhaps is that convener around a community-wide plan, someone charged with seeing it carried out, someone that is going to make sure that all the steps in that plan are carried forward and that we're continue to come together as a community and align in that direction. So that's exciting. So there's a lot of work ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say the plan is up on our website if anyone wants to read it at length at MonroeUnitedWay.org. Let me double check. I think it's / Housing. There it is. So MonroeUnitedWay.org/housing. The plan is there. There's an interest form there if anyone's interested in contributing their time or talent to the work ahead. And we're, I think, feeling a sense of optimism at just how well the community has come together so far around this shared goal, and that we can build on that momentum.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about either like what some of those goals are or some of the key objectives that the plan has?
Sure thing. I think there were a few really objectives that stand out that the community will take notice of. And one of the major ones is that we agreed to align around what's called a housing first approach.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, and this is a practice, a best practice from around the nation that HUD even is now endorsing, but it didn't always used to be the case. With a lot of services for unhoused individuals, the approach used to be housing readiness. So you're homeless, and we're a shelter that has a housing program as well, a long-term program. But the emergency shelter can, you know, take care of you for now. And let's get you ready to be housed. You're going to need a job. You're going to need a wardrobe. You're going to need to get a handle on some of your health issues, your mental health issues. You're going to need transportation. You might need childcare if you have a family. And until you get all those things, we're not going to worry about finding you a permanent home. So that, as you can imagine, has some flaws to it, because if I don't have that stable place and, you know, maybe I'm coming into a shelter every night and fighting for a bunk bed and having to watch my belongings, and, you know, during the daytime I'm just kind of out on the street, maybe prone to getting into more trouble, I'm not worried about getting all those other things in place yet, a job, clothes. But what the research has shown with housing first is that when you flip that and stabilize someone in permanent housing, then they take care of all of those other things so much better. Then they can think about taking care of their health issues or mental health issues or finding that job. And figuring out the transportation to it and the wardrobe that they need and all of that. And so the success rates with Housing First around the nation and around the world for most populations have been high. And we looked at other communities that have been successful in implementing this as a whole, and hopeful that we can build on what we have here and make some gains in housing individuals. So along with that, to support that strategy, we hope to work on expanding landlord relations throughout our region, not just in Bloomington, but really opening this up to our region. And if, you know, if someone has come here for services and they're from, say, Spencer, let's work with landlords in Spencer to see what we can do to incentivize them in that community to house someone with the right supports.
Mm-hmm.
I think another more immediate outcome that we'll see is a data dashboard for the community that is part of this plan, so we can have a baseline and then be able to measure success or challenges and communicate those to the community. But that's not something we do now. Some of the providers have their own databases, but nothing is aggregated and shared out. So that'll be another major objective in the first year of this plan and its implementation. There's a whole host of other steps and objectives detailed in that plan, and hope everyone can take a look and see what they think and see if they can help us out.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. following up on that, you had mentioned, you know, working with landlords and things like that. What are you finding with the pandemic? I know the eviction moratorium's gotten extended several times. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing or finding that, you know, a lot of small landlords, you know, may have an apartment or two that they're renting that they're relying on? Have you heard or found, like, how are they weathering this whole situation?
That's a good question. And I think it's hard to put an answer to that because it's such a mixed bag out there with this university town and now the students coming back and the market, you know, the market is getting absorbed. So I think, you know, some landlords have certainly been challenged by the conditions that their tenants are experiencing. And I'm very sympathetic to that. Others have maybe found that some of the federal and state aid and local aid for rent assistance is helping them and helping their tenants. And that's been a great thing.
That's good. Yeah. So moving forward, it sounds like you have a lot going on. And so then usually typically this time of year, you're probably getting ready for your campaign too, I would imagine.
It is almost that time of year for the fall fundraising campaign that supports our work and our partner agencies' work throughout the community throughout the year to come. And we'll be kicking that off in mid-September. So stay tuned for that and stay tuned for how to support us. And meanwhile, if you do want to start thinking about how to get involved, just give us a call.
Wonderful. And so if someone, you know, has a workplace and they've never had a campaign before, what should they do if they want to get involved?
Just give us a call or an email. The number is 812-334-8370. You can talk to any of us here about that. And we'll show you how other companies and businesses, large and small, participate in order to be part of the community and support the community and those friends and neighbors who may need a little bit of help. And it's easy, it's fun, it's a way to kind of build camaraderie as a team, which is especially important right now when the world is still so virtual and isolated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, are you finding too, a lot of your member agencies I know had, you know, long periods where the offices weren't open or hours were different. What are you finding now in terms of, you know, kids are getting ready to go back to school and some things are back to normal in quotes. What are you finding with your partner and member organizations?
Well, I think some have made adjustments during the pandemic that may stick because maybe they actually opened up access to more services by, you know, going remote or maybe making some forms electronic or delivering their services to individual doorsteps as opposed to having people come in and congregate around something. Others are, you know, slowly ramping back up as volunteers and staff can get vaccinated and you know, have a bit more measure of safety around in-person services. So I just admire all of them so much because it, I know, has been just responding while also planning ahead, while also pivoting, like we've all been doing for the last 18 months or so. And I just have a tremendous amount of respect for all of our partners that are out there day in, day out trying to help people.
That sounds great. No, and I know it's for a lot of people. It's like some things are coming back to, I know you've called it a new normal. And so it's like slowly people seem to be adjusting. And I think it's interesting you mentioned keeping some of the services. I know we've had some other members on and you're absolutely right. A lot of them have found that delivering services virtually has been a way to really extend their reach. And and people have really found it more convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes away the logistics of, say, transportation and childcare if you're trying to do something like access mental health counseling, right? If you're, say you're a single parent working 40, 50 hours a week, and you're trying to take care of your mental health, you know, previously you would have needed to think about how to get there mm-hmm. and get the child care or take time off of work to do so. And, you know, now we're hearing from people that they might be stepping out on their lunch break to their car for that hour and taking that session from there on their phone. Mm-hmm. And that's just amazing. And that certainly won't go away in full, even when things, quote unquote, get back to a better normal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And could you just talk a little bit more about, you know, with launching the campaign, just, you know, you mentioned workplaces can participate. Now individuals can participate also. And the right. funding that's raised during that, what does that go to support?
That supports our work in the community in the year ahead and the grants to our partner agencies. We also have our donor choice program. People can support a lot of different nonprofits through the annual campaign, and we rely on not only companies but individuals. Again, everything from, you know, $5 on up, it all adds up, and it does take all of that adding up in order to keep up and build on what we have here in our community. And I think, you know, we're fortunate to have a great support network, a great safety net, but it's something we have to keep maintaining. And, you know, when we see those holes in it, that's where we patch it. And that mm-hmm. takes resources, and it takes the leadership, but also everyone coming together in order to do that.
Well put. Well, Efrat, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Wish you good luck with the campaign season and all these other initiatives that you're working on, including the housing. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much, Denise. I hope you have a great rest of your week and day. And thanks for all you do to get the word out there.
Thank you so much. This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.